We begin the current daf and this Bay Yadaf Yid Aleph. We begin on the top line of the Yamad, where the Gemara continues to explain the Mishnah of the previous daf. That is, the previous Mishnah was continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnahs before that, which was talking about the halachas of Yom Tov, and specifically that regarding someone has to have prepared mizuman, the items that he wants to use on Yom Tovs. If not, for example, the birds would be considered mukta, set aside, not having Yom Tov purpose in mind, and therefore it's mukta and you wouldn't be able to use it. So the previous Mishnah discussed what is the case, and if we're not sure if these are those that he had prepared, will you find it in a different place, or there are different types than what you had done? So one of the cases was b'seicha kein. If let's say when you had designated these birds, they were inside the nest, in the shevach, inside the dovkat, umatza lufne haken, but then he finds them in front of the nest, which means to say in front of the pigeonhole, where the way it was with the shevach and with the dovkats is that generally there's a small little board coming out on the top that sticks out from the wall that separates every single can, which is there's many different compartments in the birdhouse. Now, that's where the birds come out, and they just get some fresh air, and they stay there a little bit, and then they go back inside the cane. So on that, the Mishnah says, if let's say you had designated them when they were inside the cane, and you find them outside, then Asur and those birds are going to be forbidden, because we cannot assume that these are the ones you had prepared. Maybe these are other ones, and therefore we have to say that maybe they're mukta, and you're not allowed to use them for the Yom Tov purposes of slaughtering them and eating them on Yom Tov. Now on that, the Gemara says, let's say this halacha that we're saying, we're not assuming that these are those you had left inside and now they're outside, that supports Reb Chanina's halacha. Reb Chanina had said that Reiv v'Karev, which both of these are halachas that define cases of doubt. Do you say that it's based on the majority that defines what the item is, or is it something that's nearby in proximity? So those are both halachas that will define in certain situations. But what do you do if there's conflicting halachas that are, you have Reiv saying one way and the opposite is saying that it's the karev is going to say it's a different item? So that Reb Chanina said, halach achar Reiv. So the one that we define with more is with that of the majority versus what's closer. Now that seems to be exactly the case of our Mishnah, where we're not saying that these that you're finding outside on the board, outside the shayvach, outside the dovkat, is from those that you had prepared inside the ken, even though that's close, that's really close proximity, it's right there, it's right in front. Rather, we say that it came from the world, which there's many different birds, they're the majorities of the birds, called the parash merubi parash, and therefore we say that raiv, obviously, is stronger than karv, and that's what we're going to say it's asr, because if karv was stronger, then we'd say that it's going to be mutter, because these are obviously the ones you had prepared, they were just inside, now they came outside. And I think Gemara says two answers that it wouldn't be a riot Reb Chanina's halacha. Omar Abaye, Abaye says, bidaf. We're talking about over here that there's a board that sticks out, where it's not just a small little space that they come out, but it's a board where now birds from all over come onto this board. They don't come inside because the birds inside would chase them away, but they come outside. What that means is that it's not just raiv versus karv. Even the raiv is karv, because the birds from the world, they all come right here in front of the shayvach, in front of the pigeonhole. And therefore, we will go after the raiv, which will say that it's usr, to say that it's probably from the majority of the birds of the world, which are those that you had not designated, and therefore they're mukta, because that actually has both raiv and karv, because they're also close by, because not only those from inside come here, but those from the world also come here, and that's why it's not like Reb Chanina, it's not raiv against karv, because even the raiv has karv too, and that's why we're going after the raiv. Another approach to Gemara says, Rav Amar, he says that it's totally not even speaking about this halacha, Rav Chanina, we're not even having a halacha of Reiv versus Karv. In other words, the reason why we're saying it's Aser is not because of the case of Reiv. Rather, it's talking about an entirely different case. Rather, we're talking about B'shnei Kinin. We're talking about that there are two pigeonholes, two nests, again, that are in the same dovkat, in the same shaybach, zu l'mayla mezuaskin. We're talking about that one is on top of the other. As we said, that there's many different compartments inside the dovkat. So we're saying that in both of these, there were gazelles, there were birds. Now, he had designated only the birds that were in one of these, and he didn't prepare the birds that were in the other ones. Now, the following day, on Yom Tov, he comes, he doesn't find the birds that he had designated inside that nest. Rather, he finds it in front of that, on the piece that comes out of the pigeonhole. Now, in the one that he had not designated, there he didn't find neither inside nor outside. Therefore, we're saying that it's going to be Aser. But again, not because of the idea, as we had assumed in the question, to say that it's like Reb Chanina, and which Abaye had said that even though it is, but that's based on because it's Karev too, not because it's from the birds coming from the world. Rather, for two reasons we're going to say that this case that we're, how Rav is explaining the case of the Mishnah, that you designated them inside and now they're outside, that it's not, that it's talking about two different kingdoms, it's talking about two pairs of birds that are on top and the bottom, is for two reasons why it's going to be Asr. One is because you didn't find it where you had left them. You'd left it and designated them inside, now they're outside. Moreover, is because the one that was Muktzah, the one that you had not designated, you didn't find anything. So you have to suspect that maybe it's those ones that you're finding now in front of the nest that you had prepared, that it didn't, it's not from those that were inside now that they came outside and therefore those ones that you prepared. Rather, it's from the Muktzah one, the one that you had not prepared. Now, on that, Rav says even further, he says, V'loy mi bayim. In other words, the Tana of our Mishnah that had to tell us this halacha, that it's going to be Asr, is not just that when Zimin b'tachtoina v'loy Zimin b'alyoina. Again, we're talking about that in this Dovkat, there's those on the upper story and on the top part and those on the lower part, and they both have their holes, one on top of the other, and they come out. So not only when you had prepared the ones that were inside the bottom one and you had not prepared the ones in the upper one, now you found by the lower ones, again, not inside, because that's where you designated them, rather you found them outside in front, and on the upper ones, which were the muktzah ones, you didn't find anything. There we didn't have to tell you da'asirin, that it's going to be forbidden. Damrin and hanach, because we say that these that you had prepared, azul amal, they went and flew away into the world. The hanach, and these that you're finding in front of them, they're actually from the upper ones, which were muktzah, because ishtarvu v'ishtarvu v'nachas, we say that they sidled themselves, they slid down, and they came down to the lower one. Now, that is what Rav is saying. That is that the Tana didn't even have to tell us that that would be Asr, because we would have to suspect that maybe it's from the muktzah one. Elafilo, rather, Rav says the chiddush is even further, which, again, is unrelated to Rav Chanin's halacha. We're not talking about that they came from the Reb of the world, we're talking about that they came from the muktzah one. But even afilo zimin bel yoina, even if that they had prepared from the upper ones when the birds were inside, v'leizimin b'tachtoina had not prepared the ones from the lower ones. Now uba, and then he comes tomorrow on yomtiv, umatze bel yoina, and he finds by the upper ones, not inside we had designated them, rather in front of them, v'leimatze b'tachtoina, and he doesn't find at all by the lower ones. Hanach nami asiri, the chiddush that Rav is saying, the Tana is telling us, is even those cases are going to be aser. In other words, not that you would think to say that, wait a second, it doesn't make sense for birds to be able to climb up on the dovkat because they're very small. Rather, that's not the case. And rather, the Tana of Amisha is teaching us the Amrin and Hanach that we say that the upper ones that you had designated, Azla Amma, they went away to the world, they're not here anymore. The Hanach and these from the bottom one, they were Muktza, they were sruchis sorach v'sliku. They went and climbed up and they somehow got up, even though it's not so common for small little birds to do that. They went and climbed up. And therefore, that's the chiddush of our mission. Again, nothing to do with Reb Chanin's halacha, that even in such a case, we're going to say that even though you find it right out in front of the one that had been designated, the muktzah ones, they're not there at all, not inside, not outside. So you think they left and they're the ones that just came out from there, right there. It's right in front of their hole. And that is what the Tana is teaching us, that no, if you had designated inside and then now it's outside, when we're talking about that there's two, one on top of each other, we have to suspect that maybe the ones that were inside on the top that you had designated flew away, and the ones from the muktzah on the bottom, since they're nowhere to be seen, then maybe they came up and they're in front, and that's why it's going to be Asr. Now the Gemara continues with the quote from the Mishnah that said that, however, v'im ein sham elahen, although we said that if, let's say, you'd left it inside, and now you found it outside, that's going to be Asr, whether it be like Reb Chanin's halacha, because we go after the Rav, or like Abaye said, because it's actually Rav and Karev, because the ones from the world come to this board out in front, or like Rav, because we're talking about the two kingdom, one on top of the other. On that, the Mishnah concluded by saying that this, that we're going to say it's Asr, if you left it in, you designate it inside, and you find it outside in the following day on Yom Tov, that's V'im Ein Sham Elah, however, but if there's Ein Sham Elahen, that they're only ones, yesterday, when you had designated them, these were the only birds that were around, then Harei Lumutar, and then they actually are permitted, even though you find them in front of it, because most definitely that these are the ones that you had designated inside, and they just happen to walk outside, because we cannot assume that it's any other birds, which the Gemara asked right now to understand this. Hey Chidami, exactly what type of birds are we talking about, that we're assuming if these were the only ones that were around in the vicinity from before Yom Tov, but they were inside. Now they're outside, so we must assume that it was the ones that we had designated, and therefore it's mutter. They just walked out. Now, Ilema bim furachin, if we're talking about that there were large birds that are able to fly away very far, so why would we say that? Ikalame mahanach azulama. We could say that these birds, that were big birds, they flew away. Vahanachrinin, now what do you mean? These are other ones. Even though before Yom Tov, these were the only ones around, but birds could fly away easily and other birds could come. So why do we have to assume that it was the ones that you prepared? We should assume that they're the mukta ones and they should be asur. So elabim medadim, what you have to say is we're talking about those that they can't fly yet. Their wings won't take them, but they could hop. Now, on that it's difficult, because if there's another nest, if there's another pigeonhole, another dovecot that's within 50 amas from this one, so even though in this one these were the only birds, but that the birds from that kin, they can hop over to this one, as the Gemara will explain that up until 50 amas, even these birds that cannot fly, they could hop. And therefore, so why should we say that it's mutter? If there's another one within 50 amas, maybe it came from that one and these ones went away. And v'idaleka came b'teich hamishim amas, and if there is no other nest within 50 amas, then pshita de mutar, then it's pretty obvious that it's permitted. Why would we need the town of a mishnah to say that? We know that as a fact, they call them a dadim, all these birds that can hop, they don't hop more than 50 amas. So therefore, whichever case is going to be told, if it's a medadin, what's the pshat in halacha? If it's more than 50 amas, so then what's the chiddush? Of course it's going to be these, because no one else could have came, and these are not hopping further away. And if it's within 50 amas, then why is it mutter? We could say it came from that other one. And I think my answer is, la'ilam de'ikah kin b'teich hamishim amas. Truthfully, we're talking about that there is another one within 50 amas, which then the question becomes, if another one, so why is it mutter? We're talking about that it was a corner, and that is that there was a corner of the house that was sticking out, that was between the two shevachas, between the two dovecots. And when we're saying that there would go from one to the other, that's only if they're within the eyesight of the other. And that's what the chiddush is, that I would have thought to say that, look, it's within 50 amas that they will hop to each other, and therefore it should be asur. That's what the chiddush is teaching us, that it's only if they could hop and still see their nest where they're coming from, then they'll hop again, because they could hop up to 50 amas. But if they won't be able to see, which is the case that we're discussing over here, because as some Rashis have the picture that they're although they're diagonally within 50 amas of each other, but however there's a corner that's protruding that blocks their vision, and therefore since they can't see limedada, they don't hop from one to the other, and that's why it's going to be mutter even though it's within 50 amas. That's the chiddush. Although generally within 50 amas we'd have to say that it could be aser, because it could be it came from the other one. Now we're saying they won't. And that's the chiddush, because since they cannot see, they're not going to hop from one to the other, and that's why it's going to be mutter. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again, continuing on the themes of old Mishnah so far in this Masechta, in this Perek. It's talking about a machlokes b'sham mishil regarding halachas of Yom Tov. So the Mishnah says, b'sham me'aymrim, ein noit l'mesa eli l'katzev alav basa. One's not allowed to take a pestle to chop meat on that. Now, a pestle is a board that's used to break the spices in a mortar. Now, that means to say, it's a klisha malachta l'isser, it's a utensil that its general usage is for a prohibited thing, which is to grind things, which is prohibited to do. Now, and therefore, Beisham may say it's going to be usher to use it, even for what's called a tzerich gufa, even for a permitted usage, which is you're allowed to slice up, chop up meat. However, you now that this item is still going to be considered muktzah, and you can't even use it for a permitted yom tov usage. Ubesil matin, however, Basil say that's permitted because, again, even though it's a klisha malachta l'isser, you're allowed to use that for l'tzarech gufa. Beishame and Beishame say that ein nisn es ha'or lefne ha'dersen. One is not allowed to put the hide of an animal in front of those who step in it. If, let's say, you would put it like a doormat where people would be stepping in it, which is helps and works towards the ibud process, which is tanning and working out the leather of the hide, that one is not allowed to do on Yom Tov. And below Yigbiyanu, you're not allowed to even pick up the hide itself. Elam ken yeshemer kezayis bas, only if it has at least a kezayis of meat, because then you could say you were holding it as like a handle for the meat, because meat is not usr, it's not muktza. But the hide itself, if it has no meat, then it's going to be muktza, it has no yamtiv purpose. U'besil matin, however, besil permit that. Now, the Gemara first explains regarding this halacha of the Eli. So Tanu, we learned in the Braisa, Bishavin, that both Bisham and Bishil would agree, although they have machlekes in our Mishnah, can you use this pestle to be able to cut meat on it, on Yamtiv, she'im kitzav lav basar, if you had already cut the meat on the pestle, then afterwards, shasal tatli, then you're not allowed to moot it. And the reason is because then you already had used it for your Yamtiv purpose. And therefore, now there's no more heter of using it. It's considered a mukta item. The only heter is because you need it for a yomtiv purpose of cutting meat on it. Then it's permitted. When there's no matzarach gufay, then of course, even Bishil would agree that it's considered a mukta item. Now, Omar Abaye comes to qualify this machlekes that we have in the Mishnah of utilizing an eli of a pestle for cutting meat on it. So Abaye qualifies as machlekes be'eli. Their whole machlekes was only regarding using a pestle. However, regarding something that's used to, that's designated generally to chop up meat on it, such a board, everyone agrees you're allowed to use to cut up meat on it on Yom Tov. So the Gemara asks Pshita, well, it's pretty obvious, forgetting about logic, Eli Tanan. That's what it says that a pestle, which is a klisha malachta le'issa, that was their machlekes. But regarding something that's not a prohibited usage item, which it's not used for just non-yumptive malacha type of activities, for example, of grinding, so why would we say that's going to be yasa? So that the Gemara says, because I would have thought to say, that Bishami would say, even in such a board, it would be yasa to use that on yumptive. Now the reason would be because maybe after that you have moved it already, then you'll change your mind and you're not going to go ahead and cut meat on that board. Now what comes out is that you were tereach, you had an exertion for naught, for nothing. Now, tircha, that as not for a Yom Tov purpose, is prohibited to do on Yom Tov. Now, and therefore, maybe I would say the Bishamir hold, even there where it's not a klisha, malach l'isser, it would be asr on Yom Tov, because then you might change your mind, and then you have gone through a tircha which is prohibited to do on Yom Tov. Now, v'hadik toni eli, so then why did the Mishnah say the case of a pestle, which is a klisha, malach l'isser? You could say they're even arguing by klisha, malach l'heter. Lo'idiyacha, koichin de besol. It was coming to say that the power of the one who's permitting, that we always like saying, Kayach de Atera Adif, the Philadelphia Shamalach de Lissa Namishari, to tell you that, oh, even there, Basil would say it's permitted, even though it's a Kli, that its designation, its general usage is for prohibited things. Now, Kamash Malan, that's what I have to tell you then, no, that actually the Machlikis is only as a bias qualifying it by the Eli, and not that Bishamai argues even by Tavar Garmi, and that we only said the case that they argue about to tell you the Kayach Abisil. It's not true. They only argue by Eli, by Pesel, because Bishami would agree that it would be Mutter by Tavar Garmi, and that we're not concerned that maybe you're going to change your mind that comes that you did a Tircha, an exertion for nothing, on Yom Tov. Igadami, those that say a different version of this discussion, that Abaye said that when we asked the question, that what it means, pretty obvious, that we said in the Mishnah, Eli, that they're arguing only by Pesel, that Abaye himself answered, and he says, Loi nitzricha, that we didn't need to say this that we said, in other words, was Abaye's own qualification, that Tavar Garmi, this board that's used generally to cut meat on it, that everyone holds is going to be mutter, that's Elafila Tavar Garmi Chadati, that there's an extra chiddush, that not only did we have to say such a board is mutter, because that's not going to be considered something that's a klisha malach l'ister, and that there we wouldn't be concerned that person is going to change his mind, but even by a new board, where you had never cut on it from before. Now, because there, Ma'od Dutayim and Mimlech, there I would think to say that, oh, for sure, Bishama would be concerned that maybe you're going to change your mind. V'litavar Allah, and that you're not going to use to cut on it because it's a brand new one, you don't want to ruin it. Kamash Malan, that's the Chiddush again that Abaye was qualifying and saying that, no, the Machlekes is only by a pestle because the Klisha Malach L'Isser that Bishama forbids using even L'Tzarech Gufoy. But regarding this board that's generally used for cutting meat, even if it's a brand new one, Bishami is not concerned that you're going to change your mind and therefore be over on a tircha that's an exertion on Yom Tov, and therefore Bishami would agree that it's mutter in such a case. To which the Gemara asks, "Ubishami lechay shilam luchi?" The Gemara is questioning Abaye. Is it really true the way he just defined it, that Bishami would agree that you can use a Tavar Garmi, even a brand new one, because we're not concerned you're going to change your mind? But Vatanya, we learned the Braisa that seems to indicate that Bishami is concerned that one will change his mind. The Braisa says, Bishami Aymer, Eimer lichin tavach v'sakin itzel behema. One is not allowed to transport the sheichet, the slaughterer, and his knife to the animal. And also, v'lei behema itzel tavach v'sakin, or to transport the animal to where the slaughterer and the knife is. Now, and the reason is because we're talking about that if they're far away, maybe after one goes through the tircha, the exertion of transporting either one to the other, that then he might change his mind. So we see that Bishlama is concerned about this idea about having tircha that will not ultimately have a yom to purpose because you might change your mind. Whereas the Bishlama and Bishlama say that no moilichin zetzel, that you could transport one to the other. Similarly, Bishami Eimim, Eimelichin Tavlun Umaduch, one is not allowed to transport. They're going to go through this tircha of bringing the spices and the pestle, which again, this is the board that's used to crush the spices in the meducha, in the mortar, Eitl Meducha, to bring it to the mortar, which is that vessel that you put the stuff in when you're smashing it with the pestle. Or Vole Meducha, Eitl Tavlun Umaduch, or to bring the mortar to where the pestle and the spices. Whereas the Bishalimim, they say, no, Melichin Zetzel, that you could bring one to the other. Now, however, what we see from this price is that Bishami is concerned that you might change your mind and then be doing a tircha for a non-yom tov purpose. Now, that therefore contradicts what we had just said, that Abaye says that we're not concerned by Tavar Garmi to the concern about that you might change your mind. So then the Gemara says, Hachi Hashta, can you compare the two cases? Bishlema Behe, and there are two cases in the Brisa that Bishami is concerned about for changing his mind. Abaye was told by the case that you're not, and Abaye says, not a contradiction. Because it says, Bishlam Behema Aslam Luche, we could very well understand why Bishami says you can't bring the knife to the animal or the animal to the knife, which is a tircha, because you might change your mind. That's by an animal, because the the person will say, you know, Nishba Kai Behema Krusha, oh, leave alone this lean animal. This is not going to be good enough for Yamtiv. Let's go bring another animal that's fattier. So we can understand the rationale why over there a person might change his mind, and therefore Bishami says it's Aser. Similarly, regarding the second case of the Braisa, regarding a pot, in other words, a cooked dish that one is making, where you, that's why you have the spices that you want to grind, because a person will say, you know, leave alone this dish that we're trying to make, the bayitavim that needs spices, and that's why we want to get this mortar. For example, if let's say one's making meat or onions, let's go bring another dish, for example, cabbage and turnips that don't need spices, so therefore we can understand why Bisham would say it's forbidden, because you're going to be doing a tircha and you might end up changing your mind. However, Abaye says, Hach over here in the case that I'm discussing, Michael Amema, what are you going to say regarding this tavara garmi? Mimlech v'leitav, you're going to say he's changed his mind and he's not going to chop the meat on the board, and therefore you're going to be going through an exertion of the board. But that's not true, because kivin d'shachta, since you slaughtered this animal, that's why you have meat to chop up. L'tvirikaima, it's designated for chopping up, and there's no concern that he's going to change his mind and not chop it up, because that's what the meat's for. There's no reason to say I'm going to choose something else. And that's why Abaye says that Beishami will not be concerned about mimlech, about changing his mind, and therefore actually there are only machlokes in the Mishnah was regarding an eli, a pestle, where that's a klisha machlokes iser, and that Beishami said even in tzarech gufo is aser, b'sol seh it's mutter. However, regarding tavar garmi, there even Beishami would agree that one can handle that on Yom Tov and cut the meat on it. Now, in another machlokes in our Mishnah was, Beishami oimim ein nois nesa'ar. Beishami says you're not allowed to put the hide lefnei hadars in the front of those who are stepping on it, whereas b'sol said that it's mutter. So Tanu, we learned in the Braisa that regarding this halacha, when you put the hide down on the floor and people step on it, which goes into the process of ibud, of tanning it and working it out, which is one of the lamates malachas that's forbidden on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So we learned in the Braisa, however, v'shavin shamolchin ulav bas, however, both agree, even b'shamai, that it is permitted to salt the meat that's on its hide, even though salting is also works towards the process of ibud, if it's litzali. If it's that you're only salting the amount that's necessary for roasting, that there's different quantities of salting that's necessary for the type of cooking. Roasting requires the least amount of salt, so you're not putting on that much salt. And therefore, since you're not putting that much salt, even though it's the meat's on the hide, we're not concerned about the salt that's falling onto the hide as if it's considered tanning, because it's not really that much salt. Now, not Abaye qualifies this halacha of the Braisa, and he says, Leishanu el litzali. We only said this heter that everyone would agree to, that when you're only salting it, not so much, which is, again, as we said, regarding roasting, you don't have to salt it so much. But if you're salting the meat for cooking, which needs a lot of salt, there that would not be the case. You wouldn't be able to salt it necessarily on the hide itself, because that would work towards the processing of the hide, similar as Beishami said, forbidden to put the hides down on the floor, which people are going to step on, and that's also going to be working towards the process of ibud. Now, that the Gemara asks, well, in Peshitta, it's pretty obvious. Litzalitana, the Braisa says clearly, what do we need a bai to tell us? The Braisa says that it's only if you're salting it for the amount of roasting it but not the Kedera. So why would we think that Bishami would agree when you would be salting for the Kedera that Abai has to say that it's only Letzali? So that the Gemara says, no, Hokamash Malam. This that Abai said, that it's only for Tzali and not for cooking that you put in a pot, but what he was saying was that fill Letzali in Kedera, that even if you're salting for roasting, but it's you're almost salting it as much as a person would be doing when if he'd be salting for cooking, that even there is usur. He's not coming to say chiddush that. We're saying the other way that you not to say when the Braisa says, look, if you're salting this meat that's on the hide, for roasting that's permitted, you would think all types of roasting, no matter how much you're salting it, since it's for roasting, it's permitted. And that Abai qualifies as, look, no. The idea is because you're not putting on such a large quantity of salt. That's why it's permitted, and it doesn't look like ibud, like the case of, let's say, putting on the hide where people are going to step in it. But if you're doing it likadeira, what he meant to say was that even if you're doing it for roasting, but the quantity of salt that's generally, which is by kadeira, that's a lot of salt, that already looks like the process of ibud, then would not be the case of the Braisa saying B'Shem would agree, and B'Shem would say that it's awesome. Related to this, the Gemara says, regarding the process of salting, that's the process of ibud, of tanning, of working out the parts of the animal. Tarban Linda Braisa, Ein Molchen Es HaChalavim, one is not allowed to salt the fats of an animal. Ve'im ha'apchen behem, similarly, one's not allowed to turn over the fats, which is on Yom Tiv, that the fat should not spoil, even if the animal is slaughtered on Yom Tiv itself. And that's because, again, the same idea that one when one salts something, it's the same process as tanning, where it keeps it to last for a long time, that goes into this iser of the malacha of ibur, and therefore one's not allowed to salt the fats and turn them over. Rabbi Shua said that regarding turning it over, you are allowed to lay it out in the air on top of pegs itself, and that although that will prevent it from spoiling, that's not a prohibited thing to do on Yom Tov. Now, Amar of Masna, Rav Masna says, because here you're not actually salting it, so it's not like the malacha of ibud or any gezerah related to that, and you're not turning it over so that it looks like you're doing something that it should last for a long time, which again would be related to the malacha of ibud. You're just putting it on pegs, and therefore it's not getting ruined. And therefore, halacha tefal gibishua. Ikadarma, that say, Amar Rav Masna, that actually Rav Masna said, ain't halacha gibishua. Halacha does not fall gibishua. And it's actually prohibited even to put onto pegs so that it gets ventilation, that it doesn't spoil, and that it lasts for a while. So on that, the Gemara asks, Bishlam l'mandam halacha gibishua itzrich. We understand, according to the first version that said that Rav Masna said halacha falls gibishua, it was necessary for Rav Masna to tell us that, because we would think, based on the general dictum, that when you have a machlekes between an individual and the many, that the halacha falls like the many, that's what Masna had to tell us, that here the halacha is like Yeshua, even though he's a yachid. But according to the second version that says, Rav Masna was saying halacha does not fall like Yeshua, it's pretty obvious. Until told otherwise, we would always assume the halacha falls like the rabbin. So why would we have to say halacha is not like Yeshua? So that the Gemara answer is, I would have thought that mistabri time at Yerushua, that maybe the default I would have thought is that actually halacha is like Yerushua, because his logic makes sense. And why would I think the halacha is like him, that you could put on the pegs, even though it's something that's similar to keeping something for a long time, which is related to the avmalacha of ibud? Because de'ilei sharisle, if you don't let him put on these pegs to prevent the fats from spoiling, mim nevelei shachet, he's going to stop and he's not going to slaughter his animals, because look at this, I'm going to slaughter, yeah, I want to have Simchas Yom Tov, but I'm going to lose this great loss because I'm not going to be able to keep this fats till after Yom Tov, then I could do certain malachas to keep it for a long time because I can't salt it. And if I'm not even able to even put it and give it ventilation on top of the pegs, he's not going to slaughter it in the first time, and that he's going to remove himself from the Simchas Yom Tov, and we don't want that to happen. Kamash Malan, that's the chiddush, that even though it would make sense, his logic, that you don't want to stop him Simchas Yom Tov, as we find elsewhere, as the Gemara is surely going to ask, we do many things, even certain leniences, that people should engage in Simchas Yom Tov. That's the chiddush, that no, the halacha is not like Rabbi Yeshua, and we will say that it's going to be us to do that on Yom Tov. But that's what the Gemara asks right now. Why is this case that Rabbi Yeshua is arguing with the Rabbanan, which we're saying the halacha is not like Rabbi Yeshua according to that second version, And even though it might prevent him from slaughtering animals on Yom Tov because his fats are going to become a loss, why is that different than the case of putting the hide in front of those who step on it, where Basil say that's permitted? And the logic of that was because if you don't let him put that down on the floor, even though that does resemble something of the process of tanning the hides, which is forbidden, is because then he's not going to slaughter in the first place because he's going to have this loss for his hides. He wants to make sure that it gets worked out right away so that it doesn't spoil and get ruined. So he puts it down as if a doormat when he slaughters it on Yom Tov. And now, although that's something that's a big leniency, but we do it because we want the people to slaughter the animals to have some because Yom Tov. So now, why is that different? Why wouldn't we say Halachas Rikim Yeshua, which would be the same idea as Beis Hillel, it would seem, that you want to allow a certain leniency so that people engage in Simchas Yom Tov. So that the Gemara continues in Amud Beis and says that there's a fundamental difference between the two cases. Hasam le'mucha milsa. There, in the heter of Beis Hillel, there is nothing that's obvious that when he's laying it down, that he's doing it for Ibud, that it should be working out the hide, that it should turn into leather. Because actually people are going to say that this that Rabbanan permitted the person to put it down as a doormat for the people that are stepping all over it is because of it's a tzarech Yom Tov, it's a Yom Tov purpose which is allowed, because even laying down the hide on the floor has a Yom Tov purpose, mishum dechazi lemizgal leho, because it's fit to sit on it as it was in the times of the Gemara, that people would sit on the floor on these hides, on these pieces of leather, and that's why the Rabbanan allowed it. Not because it's being used as a process of doing Ibud, it's just because people want to be able to sit on it. Now, however, hacha, over here by the case of the fats, if we were to permit the person to spread them out on these pegs, it would be obvious that what are we doing over here, and what do the Rabbanan allow us to do, that we're rectifying the fats that they shouldn't spoil. So us lemeimer, then people are going to come to say, my time is shalir Rabban. Why did the Rabban allow me to do this? Ki hechid lo lisrach, that it shouldn't spoil. Oh, so then mali lemishtachina, so what's the difference if they say that you're allowed to do what it takes, that it shouldn't spoil, to spread it out on top of pegs so that it gets ventilation? Or mali lemishtachina, what's the difference if I salt it? Now, however, there is a big difference between those two things, because if someone's going to come to salt it, and salting is actually one of the lamates malachas, because it's related to the malacha of ibud of tanning, as the Mishnah says in Masechta Shabbos, v'hamolche v'ma'abdoi. Some that salts and tans it, which is the same process of tanning, which that's forbidden as a av malacha, and that's why we have to say that, yes, we do certain leniencies, that we want the person to engage in Simchas Yom Tov, but not when it's actually going to come to one of the lamates malachas, an av malacha, and therefore by the fats we say it's aser, but by Basil's case where people are not going to come to say that there's a permitted malacha being done over here, I'm just saying because that people want to be able to sit on it, which is Tzarech Yom Tov, and that's why they're permitted, and here it's aser. Now, continuing on this topic regarding malicha, salting different items, that the Gemara tells us different ways that it's actually permitted to salt items on Yom Tov. Amar Yehuda Mar Shmuel. A person could salt many pieces of meat if it's being done at the same time. And that is, since it's one exertion that you're throwing on the salt, even though it's many pieces, which could be related to this problem about preserving things for a long time, which is related to this malacha of ma'abid, which preserves the hide, turns it into a piece of leather. But if it's at one time, even though you really only need one piece, which a lot of salt when you're coming to eat something, but not when there's many, which could be perceived as preserving it for a long time, but since it's one effort, one tircha, that's going to be permitted. Another similar heter is Rav Adabar Ava, Marim, he would use subterfuge, and that is, after he would salt one piece, which you're allowed to do because you want to eat it today, then he would say, you know what, I think I'm going to like that other piece better. I'd rather eat that one today. And then he salts that piece. Umalach, garma, garma. And in the process, he salts all the pieces of meat because he says, you're allowed to salt one piece of meat, but you know, I don't really want that. And he puts that on the side. Let me salt that one. I want to eat that one. He changes his mind. And that continuously, he's able to get every piece of meat. But again, that's permitted because that's the one is not actually doing an act of ibud, of preserving it for a long time, because each one is actually permitted because you might come to eat it, but then he changes and salts another piece of meat. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnahs of this parak regarding machlekes and yamta between Bisham and Bishil. So Bisham and Bisham say that Emisalkin as a tris in Biyamta. One cannot remove the tris, he cannot remove the shutters from the store on Yamtiv. Bisil say, you know, not only are you allowed to take off the shutters that close the windows of these little store huts that they would have in the marketplace, but you could actually even put it back on. The Gemara will explain the machlekes. But first the Gemara asks, my treason, what is this case that we're discussing? So Amar Ula, Ula says they're treise, they're the, so to speak, the doors of the windows, the doors of the openings of chanuyis of the stores, which these stores are like these types of boxes that would stand in the marketplace, which are not attached to the ground, which will have halachic ramifications regarding if we view them as a bias or not. They're not attached to the ground. And we're talking about the shutters of these windows. That is where the machlis b'sham b'shil is. Can you even take it off? Or like b'shil said, you could even put it back on Yom Tov. Now, related to this, which will come into this discussion regarding what is the understanding of Beis Hillel's heter of actually even putting it back on, V'amu L'ula says, Shleisha Dvarim Hitiru Seifin, there are three things, 3 years of halacha, where they permitted the end thing, which does not have a Yom Tov purpose, which would generally be a tircha that's aser, or related to a malacha that's forbidden, but they permitted Mishum Tchlasin, because of the beginning, which the beginning process has a Yom Tov purpose, and however, if we had not allowed the end result, then we would the person would not have started to do it at all, which would then have prevented Simchas Yom Tov, and therefore we even allowed the end because of the beginning. And these are these three things. Arulav Nehar Darsin. First one that he says is from the previous Mishnah, which is that Beis Hillel said that one is allowed to put the hide in front of those who step on it, which we allowed spreading it out, because of we wanted people to slaughter it, as Rashi says, shtichasin, because of shchitasin. He allowed one to lay it down, which doesn't have a Yom Tov purpose, but if we didn't let you do that, you wouldn't have slaughtered in the first place, because then you're going to lose the hides, the leather. Therefore, we said that you allowed to even lay it down, because we wanted you to engage in Simchas Yom Tov, and only then will you do tchilasin, the slaughtering of it, to eat the meat. Second case is from our Mishnah. V'treis chanuyis, the shutters of the storefronts, that we allowed you to put back the shutters, which doesn't have a Yom Tov purpose, because we wanted you to take off the shutters to put it out, which that's where they would put their wares, the spices, to sell to people on Yom Tov, and that is, you're allowed to do that on Yom Tov. If you don't specify a monetary amount, there's no problem of Mekach Memcher. So we wanted people to be able to get what they need on Yom Tov. So the only way you're going to take off the shutters is you can lock it up at night and put it back. So we let you put it back so that you take it off in the first place. The third case is, the Chazaras Ratiya, putting back a bandage on Shabbos, b'mikdash, in the base of Mikdash. And that is if there's a kohen that he has a wound on his hand. Now, however, he has to do the avodah. He has to take off the bandage from his hand so that it shouldn't be a chatzitza interposition between his hand and the avodah, the kli that he's holding. Now, we allowed in the base of Mikdash to put the bandage back on after he finished doing the avodah, because although that's prohibited to do on Shabbos, but if we didn't let him put back on the bandage, he's not going to take it off in the first place because he wants it to heal. And therefore, since we needed to take it over to the Avodah, so we allowed Seifai Mishum Tchilasei. Those are the three cases that Ula said. Now, Rechava Amar, Rabbi Yehuda, he said the name of Rabbi Yehuda. Now, actually, Rashi says that it's not Rabbi Yehuda who is Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, who, because actually he was from Pumbedisa and he never went up to Eretz Yisrael to see Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Rather, it's a reference to Rav Yehuda. But it's just because Rav Yehuda was his Rebbe Muvik, his main Rebbe, and he didn't learn from any other Rav, so that's why he called him Rebbe. And also that he shouldn't be confused with any other Rav Yehuda, so he would say that it's Rebbe Yehuda, it's my Rebbe, the one that I learned from, which is Rav Yehuda. So he said a fourth case, that Afa Pesach Chavite, also someone that opened up his barrel, which is a reference to a chaver, with someone that's careful in the halachas of Tahiris, that even when he comes to sell his wine, or umaschel b'sasso, if he started his dough, which is a reference to his loaf of bread, that is for those who would come up to the lila regal for the three yom tovim of Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, if he started these things, he opened up his barrel of wine, or he opened up his loaf of bread, al gav haregal, on the yom tov, for the yom tov. Now what's important to know is that on yom tov, when everyone's there, everyone would be touching his wine and his bread. Now generally that could be problematic, because amharatzim, ignoramuses, they have a general halacha of tuma on them, and therefore if they're touching this would lose the status of tahara for the chaver to be able to use it. However, there's actually halacha that the tuma of Am HaAretz on the regal on the Yom Tov, which is what we're talking about, is actually considered for the entire days of the Yom Tov as if it's tahar, will not transmit tuma. Now, however, what's left over after Yom Tov is a machleket between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim in Masechtas Chagiga Daf Chavav Med Alef. Rabbi Yehuda says, one could conclude, he could finish off selling his leftover wine or his loaf of bread even after Yom Tov to Chaverim, to those who are careful in the laws of Tahara, and to any person, just from here on, after Yom Tov, he has to be careful that Amaratzim don't touch it anymore. But even though they touched it during Yom Tov, it's okay to sell it even after Yom Tov. But the Chum argued, they say, no, you cannot conclude and sell it anymore after Yom Tov has concluded. And that's because It became tummy during the Yom Tov when the Am Haaretz touched it. Now, although we said during Yom Tov it's permitted, but that was just not to be mevayish, to embarrass the Am Haaretz and we're touching it. But however, after the Yom Tov, then actually the tumah that had been touched by the Am Haaretz during Yom Tov will retroactively have taken effect, and therefore you can't sell it anymore after Yom Tov. So therefore, what Rechav is saying in the name of Rabbi Yehuda is that regarding this halacha, valib Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that we just quoted, the amayigmer that he says that you're allowed to conclude to sell it even after Yom Tov, that's what Rechav was saying in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, that the only reason why Rabbi Yehuda said one is allowed to conclude selling it after Yom Tov was only because of Tchilas, only because of the beginning. And that is, if we wouldn't allow him to, he opened up his barrel in Yom Tov, let's say he sells a fifth of it, whatever it is, but if we didn't let him to finish selling it after Yom Tov, then he's going to lose four-fifths of that, so he wouldn't even open it in the beginning on Yom Tov, and then again, that would prevent the simchas of Yom Tov, of everyone having wine, because he doesn't want to get that loss because the Meratzim are touching it. And that Rechav is saying that the same thing would apply in Rabbi Yehuda's halacha, was also Hitiri Seifan, that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion of selling it after Yom Tov, even to the Chaveim, even to those who are Makbar in the halachas of Tara, was because of Tchilasim. Now the Gemara asks, on all these four halachas, regarding what was the chiddush of that we were saying in them. And that is, as the Gemara asks, the first case that Ula spoke about was that there's a heter over there by putting the high down in front of those who step on it, even though there's no yom tov purpose, but we allowed it because of tchilas and because of the beginning. On that the Gemara asked, Tanina. But we learned that already in the Mishnah. That was the previous Mishnah that Basil said it's mutter. So what is Ula teaching us more than what we know in the Mishnah? We obviously see that he tears Seif Mishnah tchilas and by that case. So that the Gemara answers no. I would have thought to say if I only had the Mishnah without Ula's qualification, the Tamai de Basil, the reason why Basil said that it's actually Mutter in that case was Mishum de Chazil Mizgalayu, was because since it fit to recline on those pieces of hide, so therefore, Vafilim Erev Yom Tov Nami, I would have thought to say that even if this hide was skinned from before Yom Tov, that you would even in such a case be allowed to put it down in front of the Darsan. Because there's no problem here that's being done over here. Actually, it's Chazal Mizgayu. It's actually a Yom Tov purpose of putting it down on the floor. Kamash Milan, that's what Ula is teaching us, that no. Beis Hillel was only Hitiri Seif Mishim Tchilasim. They only allowed you to put it down on the floor in front of those who step on it, because, which will work towards the process of tanning, which we really wouldn't allow, because of the beginning. Because if we're not gonna let him put it down, that it doesn't get ruined. So then he's not gonna slaughter the animal in the first place. He's hold back from Simchas Yom Tov, which is the Yom Tov in. It's only if it was slaughtered on Yom Tov that then we allowed it. The heir of Yom Tov loy. But if it was slaughtered from before Yom Tov, then actually we did not allow you, even according to Basil, to put it down lefnei Adarsin. Because here it doesn't apply this gezera of because of Tchilasin. Because even if you don't let him put it down, he's not going to stop from slaughtering the animals on before Yom Tov, which was what the case was talking about, because he could also spread it out from before Yom Tov lefnei Hadarsin. So the fact that he didn't is not a reason why people will stop slaughtering on Erev Yom Tov. Just put it down on Erev Yom Tov. Don't decide you're going to put it down in Yom Tov. But when you slaughter on Yom Tov, we let you put it down because or else you're not going to slaughter on Yom Tov. That's the chiddush of Ula, that not because it's actually permitted, but just because they're to yourself and Mishim Tchilasim. Now the Gemara moves on to his second case. The Gemara asks, what is Ula teaching us? The shutters of the storefront, we also learned, that's in our Mishnah, that Ubisil Matir, Naflahach, the Bisil says, you ought to even bring it back and put the shutters back on the store. Obviously, that's based on Hitir Seif Mishim Tchilasin, because what Yom Tov need is there over there, and so therefore, what is Ula teaching us more than it says in the Mishnah? So that the Gemara says, and no, Ma'od Tame, I would have thought to say, Tamei the Bisil, that the reason why Bisil permits it is Mishum de Ein Binyan Bekalim, Ben Stir Bekalim, that there's actually no prohibition on putting the shutters back onto the storefront, because there is no halacha, there's no isra of building, which is what this isra of putting the shutters back onto the building would be, when it comes in regards to utensils, to vessels. That's only regarding to houses, where even building a little bit will be the isra of Baina. Now, for example, if let's say someone completes a utensil on Yom Tov or Shabbos, so that would be the problem of Makav Patish. You have finished off something, which is a complete chiyuv considered as if you finished a malacha. Or if let's say you smoothed out something that needed to be smooth, that would be memachik. Or if let's say you cut something in a certain measurement that it needed, that would be mechatech. Or if let's say you wove something or you sewed something, all these things are malachas. However, building or demolishing, that's binyan and stira, doesn't apply by the tracing by these shutters to be chayiv on them for taking it off and putting it back, because we learned in the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos that says Haboyna Kolshu, this that we said that no matter how small the act of building is, which is this is a small act of putting on the shutters, that your chayiv, that's only by houses. But the case that we're talking about is not something that's attached to the ground. It's considered like a kli, like a vessel, these little huts, these little storefronts that are there in the marketplace. And therefore, then I would say that's what Beis Hillel is saying, that fill the batim nami, that even these, if you would have this similar equivalent of what these storefronts are, in the case of a house, which are these little boxes essentially, if let's say you had a house in the shape of these boxes, that's not attached to the ground, which in halacha is classified as a kli. I would think that Beis Hillel even they would allow one to take off those shutters and to put them back, even if it's not for Simchas Yom Tov, because there's actually no Isser involved. Now, Kamash Malan, that's what Ula is teaching, that even if there is no binyan in Stira B'Kalim, still Beis Hillel would say that it is Asr. And that's because of a rabbinic concern of what's called Shema Yitzka, that you might actually, when you're putting it back in, you might push it in very hard, you might have it stuck in, which would then be a malacha. Therefore, Rabbanan said that it's actually Asr. If not, in our case of the Chanuyas, where he tears safe in Mishim Tchilasin, where the only reason why we did permit it and we didn't institute the Rabbanan's Gzera of Shema Yitka, because of allowing the end because of the beginning, which is only the Chanuyas, only by the stores did we allow you to do that, because that's what's called Tzarech Rab. It's necessary for the people so that they could be able to have their spices to get on Yom Tov. That's where we allowed you to do that, to even put the shutter back on. However, regarding the shutters of the vessels of the batim of houses, if they're classified as a kli, then lai, that we did not allow it, because there we are concerned, even if you say that there's no binyan stir b'kem, there's no av malacha here. However, there's still a rabbinic decree of you might you might push it in very tight, which would be a problem for a malacha on Yom Tov. Therefore, regarding houses, even though they're a kli, it would be aser. This that we allowed it is only because he tiri seifen mishim tchlasen, and that's the chiddush that Ula is teaching us that we would not have known from the Mishnah itself. Now the Gemara continues to Ula's third case. Chazar sriti b'mikdash namitanin. What I mean regarding putting the bandage back on Shabbos in the base of mikdash, that we also learned that's a Mishnah Masechtas Eirvin, where it says machzirin sriti b'mikdash. You're allowed to put a bandage back on in the base of mikdash of aloy b'medina, but not outside of the base of mikdash. So what is Ula teaching us more than we know in the that Mishnah Masechtas Eirvin? Well, obviously they allowed you to do siphon mishum tchilasan. So that the Gemara says that again, no. Ma'adetemo, I would have thought to say that time am I, that what's the reason why they permitted it there in the Mishnah Masechta Zeirvin? Shum de'ein shavas b'mikdash, because that's a general rule that we do not enforce Isur Drabbanan in the base of Mikdash. And therefore, regarding tying on the bandage or any other type of medicinal therapeutic classifications, which is what this bandage is, where it's not a malacha, it's just Isur Drabbanan, where the Rabbanan said any refuah, any medication is forbidden on Shabbos because of a concern that you might come to grind the herbs, which is a malacha. So we say, you know, I'll take in your case of Bahala and your very perturbed regarding that you're not feeling well, then you might come to be over this deraisa. Now that's only rabbinic, and therefore we would say that that's why you're allowed to put the bandage back on, because there's no issur here whatsoever, and therefore I feel a kohen de la bar avaydu, and therefore we would think that even a kohen that is not related to doing an avaydu, even he would be able to put it back on, because there's no issur in the base of mikdash. Kamash Blan, that was what the Chiddush of Ula was teaching us, that it tiru seifim mishim tchilas, and that no, it's actually it is problematic about putting it on. We only allowed you the end because of the beginning, the bar avoda in, it's only someone that's a kohen that we need him to do the avoda, then we allow him to put it back on because then he won't take it off. And the la bar avoda la, but someone that's not doing the avoda, actually, if he took off his bandage, he's not allowed to put it back on because we do enforce that halacha in the Beis HaMikdash. It's only something that's related to avoda that we needed it, that then we did not enforce this Isra Banan of refuah, but for everyone else, it would be. So essentially, all the different chiddushim of Ula were all related that the halachas we would know, but we would assume that it's because the reason why they're permitted is because they're permitted, not that there's no isser involved whatsoever. That Ula had to teach in all these cases that actually they are usser. We would have enforced it even if it would be on a rabbinic level, but we only allowed it because of seif and because of tchilasin at the beginning. Now the Gemara moves on to the fourth case, that of Rechava, and asks on him. Regarding Rechava's case, that we also learned in the submission of Masechta Chagiga that says a Pesach es Chavita, if someone, a chaver, opened up his barrel on Yom Tov of wine, or he started his dough, he opened up his loaf of bread agav regel on the Yom Tov, Rebbe Yehuda says one could even finish up selling it in a classified state of tahara even after the yomtiv. The Chacham say you're not allowed to. So we already know the halacha from the Mishnah in Chagiga. What is Rechava adding more that we wouldn't know? So again, the Gemara says similar. Now the time I would have thought to say the tumas ama arts beragel. Actually, the tuma of an ignoramus on yomtiv kit tahara shavu rabban. Actually, the rabban equated, they classified as if it's tahar. As of course they would be relying on the pasuk, which the Gemara does utilize regarding a pasuk in Shefin that says ki ish echad chaverim. They're like one person. They're all chaverim. They're all considered tahar. Now that would mean that the reason of Rabbi Yehuda would be the reason why after yomtiv we don't say retroactively that the tuma of the am aretz will negate its tahara is because that it's actually tahar. They gave it a classification of tahar. And therefore, I would have thought to say that even if the chaver did not even start, he didn't even open up his barrel to sell it on the yomtiv, but it just happened to be that an am aretz had by mistake touched it, even though he didn't open it to sell it. That even there, Rabbi Yehuda would say that the touching of am aretz did not cause it any tumah, and therefore, even after the yomtiv, it would be permitted to sell it to chaverim. Kamash Blon, that's the chiddush of Rechava that he's teaching us that no. It's only because of a tirus seifim mishim tchilasin. We only allowed one. This was Rabbi Yehuda's chiddush of his halacha. We only allowed him to continue selling to the chaverim after yomtiv because of the beginning where hischel in. Yes, if you started, then we allowed it because we want you to open the barrel to sell it to people because people won't be able to have simchas yomtiv without their wine. Lo hischel, if you didn't start, then not. Then actually, it will be forbidden because actually there is tumah. At least there would be. And it wouldn't be permitted if you didn't open up the barrel, only because he threw a seifan mishim tchilasin. Now the Gemara asks, v'ula my time alo amaha. How come Ula didn't say the case of Rechava, which seems to be the same idea of a threw a seifan mishim tchilasin? Now the Gemara answered, b'plukta lekamari. Ula wasn't talking about cases of machlekes, where there the rabbanan argue on Rabbi Yehuda. When he was talking about this general concept of a threw a seifan mishim tchilasin, he didn't want to get involved in machlekes. Now, that the Gemara asks, what do you mean? Hanach Nami, two out of the three cases that Ula is talking about also, which are this Mishnah and the previous Mishnah, are also plugged in. They're also machlekes between Bisham and Misil. Now, the Gemara answers, Bisham and Misil in the Mishnah. The opinion of Bishamai, when it's in regards to the opinion of Misil, we don't view it even as if it's an opinion, and if it's not even considered as a machlekes, and that's why we could just quote the halacha of Misil as if it's unanimous. Now the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah. The Gemara says that Masnit in our Mishnah that said regarding taking off the treason, taking off the shutters in the first place, that's a machlekes b'sham b'sil. The Leki Haytana is not like the following Tana that didn't learn that was the machlekes b'sham b'sil. Tana like within the Brisa. Amishim Malaza, he says, Moedim b'sham b'sil. Actually, b'sham agrees to b'sil. Shemesalkin is a treason b'yamtiv. You're allowed to take off the shutters on yamtiv. Loi nechku, their whole machlekes was only elahachsa to put it back on. Bisham say, look, there's no yomtiv purpose over there. Maybe taking it off, we would allow it, but putting it back not. Basil say, no, you could even put it back, as we'd explained before, that Basil would permit seifan mishim tchilasim. Now, Bamed v'mamrim, the Braisa continues and says, when did we say this? That's b'shiyesh lehen tzir, when there is a pivot, which are these sticks, that these hands that are sticking out on the two ends of this shutter, which is similar to putting it back in. If you would be putting it back in, that would be like binyan, like building, because you're sticking it into the holes that keeps it firmly in place. That's where Bisham may say that it's usher to put it back. But if there's not even pivots, then Divya Kol Mutter, that's where Bisham Allah says that even Bisham would agree that you could even put it back. So he first argues on the Mishnah, he says that the Machlek was only putting it back. But he says that if there's no pivots, then even Bisham would agree you're allowed to even put it back because it's not even close to binyan at all. So what are you doing wrong by putting it back in? You're not putting it back into the structure because there are no pivots. Now, in that, the Gemara asks a contradiction. But Vaitanu lit in the Braisa that says, Bamed Marmurim, when did we say this machlekes between Bisham Bisil? That's Bisha Ein Lehen Tzir. Actually, that's where they argue, and only their Bisil permits it when there's no pivots, and Bisham would say it's Aser. Aviyesh Lehen Tzir, but if there are pivots, Divir HaKol Aser. Actually, even Bisil would hold that it is prohibited. So that's just seemed the exact opposite. It contradicts the first Braisa, where there he says that actually Bishil says permitted with the pivots. Bishami says aser. But if there's none, it's mutter. This Braisa says no, that actually only Bishil permits it when there's no pivots. But if there are, then it's going to be prohibited. So Rama Abaye says, actually one has to keep in mind there are three different types of cases and there's no contradiction between the Braisas. He says, Bishyesh lehen sir min atzad, when there are pivots from the two sides, on the top and the bottom of the shutter, divra kol asr. Actually, everybody, Bisham Bisil would agree that's prohibited. Ein lehen sir kol ikri, if there's no pivots whatsoever, then divra kol mutr, Bisham Bisil would both agree that it's permitted, because you're not doing any binyan, there's no reason why not to be able to put it back in. Ki pligi, what was the machligis Bisham Bisil, was biyesh lehen sir be'emtza. When there is a pivot, but not by the two ends on the top and the bottom, but actually from the side, which goes in the middle of the window, that's what helps it put it back in to keep the shutter in place. That was their machlekes. As we continue on top of Yud Beis and Aleph, that is Marsav or Bishami held, Gazrin and Tzir Be'emtza, Atru Tzir Menatzad. That although that shouldn't be a problem of binyan, because it's not on the top and the bottom, which would keep it firmly in place, but we made a gezeira. If we allow you in such a case, you might come to permit it when there's on the top and bottom too, which is a problem, and therefore we didn't even allow it even on the side. Umarasava, however, Beis Hillel held that Lo Gazrin, we do not make such a gezeira, and therefore you're allowed to put it back into the storefront, and we don't make a gzeira that you might come to do it when there are two pivots. Now, as Rashi explains, that means the two brises are not arguing. Rather, one brise was saying one thing, the other one was saying the other thing, and they're not arguing. That is, the first brise was saying that, Bamed of Amun, when did we say their machlekes regarding putting it back in? That was when there was a tzir, when we said b'sheyesh len tzir, he meant to say that if there's a tzir, if there's a pivot in the middle, but if there's no pivot whatsoever, then as we said before, everyone agreed that's mutter. The Tana of the second Bryce was saying that when did we say they argue? When he says b'she'en lehen tzir, he meant to say when there's no tzir from the two sides, but there is one in the middle. But if there is a tzir, when he says b'she'esh lehen tzir, he meant to say but there, if there's a tzir min atzad, meaning there's pivots on the top and the bottom, that's when actually everyone, divya kol aser, everyone would agree that's going to be prohibited. And that's the three cases. They're just referring to different things when they say yesh lehen and ein lehen, depending if they're referring ein lehen two pivots, or ein lehen one pivot, or yesh lehen. Those were the two different brises. But everyone agrees, if there's two pivots, top and bottom, it's prohibited. No pivots is permitted. Their machlekes is only regarding when there's one min atzad. That was machlekes b'sham b'sil, according to this version of Shimon Lazar, if regarding are you allowed to put it back, or are you not allowed to put it back.